and welcome to the Pocket Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode number 196. I am your host, James Gilmore, and joining me for this midichlorian-fueled episode podcast, we have Peter Grand Moff Willington.
Hello.
And Keith Andrew D2.
I don't know what you're doing.
You don't know what you're doing.
Yep, I'm here.
Hey! Lightsabers.
Lightsabers. Don't spoil it. Nobody knows yet. What's a midichlorian anyway?
Oh, I know what you're doing. Just going to link it very well to the news, isn't it? Yeah.
Hopefully, no one does know what a midichlorian is because they saw the film in which it was mentioned and then erased it from their memory. I said, that never happened. And let's just go back to the way things were. What the hell are we talking about? We should probably go and find out in the news.
News!
It is Star Wars, Angry Birds, it's Angry Birds and Star Wars as well.
Carry on.
Yeah, keep going.
No, I think that's great. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. This week, Rovio announced the collaboration to end all collaborations, the mighty meeting of two enormous franchises, the likes of which will make publishers and advertising consultants I won't say what they're doing, but you know what they're doing. We all know what they're doing. It's Star Wars and Angry Birds together in one delicious, incredibly marketable package.
Yeah,
I can tell Keith's really excited.
Was anyone waiting for this? I don't know. Was this being talked about?
Yeah. Oh yeah, what are you talking about? Ever since the first Angry Birds came out, everyone was like, "Do you know what this? Do you know what this is? Pretty good." Bird flinging against piggies action. But do you know what would make it even better? Even better than that. I think if we added the X-Wings and TIE Fighter and R2-D2 and the other ones
from that film's what you saw. What the hell are we talking about? Well, yeah, Rovio announced Angry Birds Star Wars. They teased it a little bit. They put up her blog, Angry Birds Star Wars blog thing, which had just a very big blacked out picture. You can barely make it out. It's one of the birds in a kind of Jedi cloak. And then it had a lightsaber going vroom, and sparking up on a GIF. And everyone was like, oh, no, they're not. They can't. Not. Oh, my God. And then they released a little trailer, which you can see if you go onto Pocket Gamer, just type in Angry Birds Star Wars into the search. And lo and behold, it's Angry Birds Star Wars. What does this mean, though? How birds? They can't wield lightsabers. They don't fly around in space. What? How's this possibly going to work? Well, we don't really know.
I was going to say, what do you know that I don't?
Because they haven't actually shown us any gameplay footage yet. All we've seen is a couple of little teaser trailers. The most recent of which was released yesterday. A recut section of the original Star Wars, A New Hope, in which they approach, you know, the moon and say, oh, you're getting too close to that moon, and everyone goes, that's no moon. And then they cut to the side, and instead of seeing the Death Star looming in, they've got a kind of Death Star with piggy ears and a piggy snout, and it's like it's a pig Death Star.
That works, actually. That does work.
And yes, I knew you'd love it. It's got a pig in it. So they've been alluding to it. There's been images. Most notably, there was a grand old launch event that went on in Times Square, New York. I think it was it Tuesday? I'm going to say.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think
it was Tuesday. Where Toys R Us completely plastered their exterior with Angry Birds Star Wars images. So you've got the red bird who's going to be Luke Skywalker with his little red bird lightsaber. And you've got the little pink one who's going to be Leia. And then you've got the big one, Terrence. He's going to be Chewie. Images of those all over the outside. And they showed, I think, Matthew got our American correspondent Matthew got a glimpse of like 30 seconds or so of gameplay, and said something, you know, about there being probably lightsabers and stuff. I don't know how much he's allowed to say. I assume it was a public demonstration, and I haven't just got him assassinated by Rovio. I'm sure it'll be fine. So yeah, there is an Angry Birds Star Wars game on the way. How psyched are we, lads? Oh, I expected that from Keith. Peter, not that psyched either.
I mean, yeah.
You're supposed to get a Ray of Sunshine.
Ray of Sunshine. Okay, so let's look at the positives. Mm-hmm. 1, Angry Birds, good brand. 2, right. Star Wars, poisonous brand, but might be bought up a little bit by Angry Birds. 3, iconic characters, brilliant. The birds look fantastic. The chewy one looks really terrifying.
Looks scary, doesn't it? Yeah.
It just looks like... actually, do you know what... the chewy one looks like, and this is a warning, obscure game reference. It looks like a Gobo from Croc, Legend of the Gobos. It looks like a Gobo.
I was going to say he looks like the Dark Crystal, that Jim Henson's Creature Workshop film. There's a little dog thing in there called Fizzgig, which looks like it has a tiny little mouth, and then it goes opens its mouth, and it's absolutely huge. Okay. It looks like that.
Okay.
Between our two obscure references, we've lost half the audience right there.
You certainly lost me, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't know anything about popular culture beyond Kylie Minogue, do you? That's where it ends. That's where it begins and ends.
There is no popular culture beyond.
But exactly. I guess, so the piggies are going to kind of be like the bad guys of the piece, yeah, I suppose?
Yeah, I've seen images. There are going to be, there are piggy stormtroopers and a kind of, Pig Vader thing going on.
Pig Vader.
Yeah, pretty much. The rebels are going to be the birds, obviously, and your evil empire, that's going to be your piggies. And although there's been very little seen as far as gameplay is concerned for the iOS game, there is a heck of a lot of merchandising coming with it. I know that's going to shock you all right to your core, but they have flashed about an awful lot of plastic stuff. So we've got Angry Birds Star Wars figures that are actually, if you're a collector, kind of neat because they reflect those Kenner collectibles that they released in the 80s. That, you know, it's hugely collectible figures that they released to accompany the original three movies. They've kind of modeled the boxes on those. So I'm sure there will be some Star Wars fanatics who will be, you know, delighted about that one. And an equal number of people who will go, who? Kenner? What? But they'll be the Angry Birds fans, obviously. You've got an Angry Birds physical game where there's an AT-AT walker, which has got, you know, built out of the kind of building blocks that you usually see in Angry Birds, and you've got to lob your Jedi fighter pilots at it, and it'll knock them over. So it's a kind of merging of the two universes there. You've got plushies, lots of plushies. Plushies up the arse, obviously, because there's already millions of plushies, and now there's plushies with that Luke Skywalker slightly mop hairdo, which is actually quite funny when you look at it. Loads of those, just all manners of plastic stuff.
Is it a coincidence that in Angry Birds, my favourite bird was the yellow bird, and in Star Wars, Harrison Ford was my favourite?
Oh, yeah, because he's Han Solo bird, isn't he?
Yeah.
Han Solo bird.
Is that a coincidence?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Do you think that, like the Lego Star Wars games, you'll be able to play through the entirety of the Star Wars saga story, but through the medium of flinging stuff at other stuff?
I don't think you'd be able to
kind of what happens anyway.
Grasp a clear narrative by, you know, telling the story through throwing things at things. There'd have to be some serious rewrites.
Your father.
Bing.
George Lucas isn't adverse to an edit or two, is he? So,
yeah. What are you talking about? George Lucas is all about keeping it artistic.
He may well do an Angry Birds version of the film with me.
I want to watch that so badly.
That's the thing. That recent trailer that they launched today / yesterday was precisely that. It was the original film footage, and they had, you know, superimposed a piggy Death Star over the real Death Star, which is why at this point, the Star Wars brand, as you've already alluded to using the word poisonous, but we've reached a point where it's almost beyond reproach it jumped the shark a long time ago. So, you know, this is not even a surprise at this point. And to be fair, we've talked about in the office today, the Lego Star Wars franchise has done very well. People aren't that cynical about Lego Star Wars because they managed to embody those games with quite a lot of charm, and they were fun and they were good for kids and everything. So people kind of went, yeah, it's pretty cool. Seeing the trailer where they've literally gone in and re-edited the film again, just took me back to that moment in 1997 or whenever it was when you went to the cinema to see A New Hope again, and you're like, oh my god, amazing! I thought I'd never see it on the big screen. This is so cool. Look, hang on, what's that big CGI slug thing? That's what's going? What are all these bit? What? And just had, you know, realized that the movie had been ruined before your eyes.
Did you know that the ending of episode 3? You know that bit with Darth Vader, spoilers, but come on. You know that bit at the end of episode 3 where Darth Vader like falls to his knees because his wife is dead, has been killed, has died in like labor.
Oh yeah.
Did you know that George Lucas actually based that reaction of no watching people come out of the edit of the
I did not.
Oh, bad.
I can believe that, though.
If they have one of the birds doing it, that would be funny.
I've just watched that video you were talking about. I quite like it.
That's because it's got the piggies in it.
Maybe that's because even it's quite well done. I thought it would be cartoony, but it's not. It's actual CGI. It's just got the pig's face on it.
Well, yeah, but yeah. Yes, I mean, it's not that it's done badly. It's just yet another way that my memories have been jumped up and down upon. But like I say, I'm not really that angry or anything because it's hardly a surprise at this point. Yoda's flogging us Vodafone contracts or whatever it is now. So, you know, we're way beyond that at this point. So what it is, it's a union of two enormous brands, two of the biggest brands on the planet, I suppose. Interestingly, I'm curious, who needs who more now, right now, at the moment?
I suspect Star Wars needs Angry Birds.
Again, that's sort of my feeling as well.
Because you've got Yoda selling Vodafones and C-3PO down at PC World. It's all a bit...
So, what you're all dying to know is, when are we going to be able to play this amazing game? Well, the release date is November the 8th. That is when...
These out so quickly.
I know, they're knocking them out, aren't they? But I mean, to be fair, I suppose they've been doing this for 3 years now, and I can't see the mechanics.
There's definitely so long tweet, they but... do anything else, and then suddenly they've had like six games in a row. Just wow, it's just, you know.
But yeah, November the 8th, it'll be coming to iPhone, iPad, Android. I don't know what. I think Windows Phone maybe, but I will certainly turn up on there. I don't know if it's there at launch.
It is because they were tweeting about it. Microsoft are very keen to tweet about that.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So all the platforms basically, it'll be on that. It'll be on your microwave, on your digital wristwatch, everything. Look forward to that November 8th. I imagine there'll be more trailers incoming. Just go to the site. We've got loads of photos from the launch event. If you want to see what a Luke Skywalker / Red Bird plushie looks like, then there's only one place to see it. So check it out on the Pocket Gamer site. Moving along and away from all of this Star Wars stuff, although sticking with maximizing profits with big old franchises, Square Enix. We've been talking about them a fair bit recently. In relation to lots of their RPG titles and their console ports that they've brought to iOS devices, which have been very well done, but often have been quite highly priced, and have that's provided, you know, a bit of a hurdle for some people. They spoke out this week to defend their pricing system, because obviously it's been brought up a few times. They actually talked to another website about the reasons behind their pricing, or the reasons they decided to do it, which I thought was interesting. They chatted away, and they were asked, you know, in a market where games cost 69p, 99 cents, or even, you know, freemium is taking over, games you can pick up for free and pay if you want to, when you're selling games that, like Final Fantasy III or The World Ends With You, these kind of games that are ports of pre-existing games, and you're flogging them for, you know, a tenner and upwards, sometimes as high as 20, even as high as 30 in some cases. How do you justify that? You know, what's your thinking behind it? And their answers, we'll quote some of the stuff that they said. They said, the games that you mentioned and several of our other mobile titles were originally intended for consoles, and we've reconfigured and optimized them for the mobile platform, releasing them at a lower price than their original console or handheld versions. So they say that it's still cheaper on iOS than on the console,
Bargain. Yeah, there's no reason to have to play by everyone else's rules, I guess. No one kind of decided at these price points. They just kind of happened upon them, really, didn't they?
It occurred organically, didn't it? So,
So if they can sell them at that price, then...
Then fair
play. They can sell them at that price.
Wow. Mm. Obviously, that's them defending their pricing system for ports of their pre-existing games. So they say, you know, it's been optimized, and so we're charging a bit more, but not as much as the other ones. So the question then was arisen, but what about the new games? You're releasing new games. Final Fantasy Dimensions, which we talked about before, which, although the first chapter is free, you have to cough up to £30 if you want to play the whole experience. Or Demon's Score, which is something else we talked about before, which you know, came under a fair amount of criticism from some users who were kind of aggrieved to find out that two levels in, they had to cough up for all these costumes and if they wanted to hear any other songs. And therefore, that could cost anything up to £30 or $45. What's your justification behind charging so much for these new games? To which Square said that each game is priced individually and evaluated based on the type of game, depth, and overall experience it provides for players. Some of our higher priced titles offer more than 60 hours of game time, with rich storylines, high quality graphics, and challenging, diverse combat. Which is, you know, that's true, that's fair enough. Some of the games do offer, you know, huge amounts of content. Some of those RPGs go on forever. Forever and ever, if you're Keith Andrew. They never stop.
They never even start.
Precisely. However, they continue, we are aware that the market in North America is accustomed to the lower priced or free-to-play games. And Guardian Cross was our first significant title to utilize the free-to-play pricing model. And they've been happy with the reaction.
Doesn't that sound like a bit of a diss to the North American market right there? It's like, well, we are aware that the market in North America is accustomed to lower price or free-to-play. It's like, hasn't Gree been doing pretty well in Japan recently?
It's untrue. The West was like second to this whole thing. Yeah. It's like Asia where it exploded, so it's quite weird.
But I mean, the thing is that obviously this interview sounds extremely down the line PR chatty.
Well, it was an email one, and I think they gave some very vetted answers.
Yeah, like, do you want to check these before they go out? The thing is, though, that some of the things that the interviewee kind of talks about, like this line about, well, it's got 60 plus hours of gameplay with rich storylines, high quality graphics, and challenging, diverse combat. Right. Well, if you take out something like rich storylines, I would argue that something like the Angry Birds trilogy, for example, not the 3DS version, but like the three, you know, seasons, space, and the original.
Yeah.
For about £2, whatever, I reckon you can get probably half that amount of time. Like, depending on, like, you could probably get 20, maybe 30 hours out of those things if you're really, like, trying to 3-star the whole thing. And I'd argue they've got high-quality graphics, and I'd argue that they're challenging. Like,
You can take it negatively and say, like, that them quoting these figures and saying all these hours, these rich storylines, high quality graphics is sort of implying that other games on the App Store maybe don't have that level.
Yeah, I mean, what they're really saying is, yo, we make RPGs, they're 3D and they look really, really good, and we're the only people that are doing it at the moment because we know we've got the brand and the name to do it. But it doesn't. Like, fair play, they can charge whatever they want, and they're going to do it as long as people buy it, as long as, you know, as long as idiots go, oh, Final Fantasy, I'm going to go and grab that, because whatever Final Fantasy it is, I'm going to go and get it. This is why Chocobo Tales did so well. but ultimately, like, there are games that are competing with this. Like, what was the game we were talking about last week? And it's basically Oblivion.
Ravensword.
Yeah, Ravensword. Like, that's going to be, let's say that's sub a tenner, right? That's going to be, like, really cheap in comparison to Squeenix's stuff. Yeah. And that's going to be high quality, rich storyline, long game, challenge. You know, I think it's just one of those things of, I wish they were more honest and they just went, do you know what, we're Square Enix, we can charge whatever we want because we own Final Fantasy and we own Dragon Quest and we own all of these other properties. Like, and if you want those names in your game, like, then you're going to pay us.
Well, the issue that came up a couple of weeks ago is sort of in relation to it wasn't even a big name game. It's a new one, this Demon's Score game, which came under fire. One of the issues that came up from that was they were charging Western audiences a different amount and in a different way to how they were charging the Japanese audiences.
Nice.
Which is where basically the Western ones got this kind of quasi-paymium model where you coughed up a fiver and then you had to pay extra to get all the outfits and it amounted to, you know, 30 plus pounds or whatever. Whereas if you happen to live in Japan, you got to buy the game outright for about £12. And then that was it. There was no extra, there was no in-app purchase, nothing like that. So they were the interviewer asked Square, you know, what the hell? What's the score there? Their response was, shall I say squirmy? Let's say. They said, we wanted to offer US players the opportunity to purchase and experience Demon's Score at a lower price than the Japanese version. This allowed US players the opportunity to play the game and decide whether or not they wish to proceed by purchasing additional in-app purchases as they progress through the game.
We wanted to sell a demo.
Which is, yeah, I mean, saying that second sentence, this allowed US players the opportunity to play the game and decide whether or not they wish to proceed. Now, that's fine if it's free to start off with. They'd already paid $4.99. Like, you don't pay $4.99, get two levels in, and then go, oh, do I want to carry on or not? You've already coughed up a fiver. Of course you want to carry on. That's a ridiculous statement.
I don't know why they didn't just say we're trying out different pricing strategies in different regions, because it's obviously what they're doing.
Yeah.
There's no shame in that. Why try and plaster it with some PR rubbish? It's a bit...
It's the PR thing is the issue, and also with that particular game, it was the way they kind of masked the in-app purchases under, I think. That was the dodgy stuff. But I think, Peter, you're quite right, and I'm sure Keith would be with you on this, that they are Square Enix, and I'm sure their point of view is, we have Final Fantasy, we can charge pretty much what we want for this, and the name is so big and so huge that people will pay it, and while they are paying it, why should we lower it?
The problem is, when you do something like that, actually, is that you never know how much you could make if you were to lower it. I mean, they might be making a very healthy number of sales, but they don't know that if they didn't lower it, which might be why they're trying different strategies in different regions, actually, is that if they actually dropped it even just a dollar, it would actually shoot up to a level where they'd actually make more money from a lower RRP. But, you know, there's no way they can know that unless they do it, which might be why, like I say, you might well see lots of different games come from them that all have different pricing strategies, some free, some this, that, some that, which is fair enough. But, you know, to be honest, that's better than, say, if you're one of these console companies that just comes across and decides to do what everyone else is doing without actually realizing, does that actually work with your business model? Does that actually make any sense with the games you're putting out? So, you know, it would just be much more better if when questioned on it, they kind of said, well,
they copped to it. Yeah.
We don't really know what works yet. We're finding out. You know, it's early days. It's early days for everyone. No one really knows what works yet until it does or not. But, yeah, there's no way. They won't know if they could make any more or less, you know, unless they change your price.
Well, one of the interesting ways one company has decided to try and make extra money, a different way of getting people to invest into their multimedia products, is the Skylanders franchise. Skylanders. Which has employed quite an interesting way of marrying digital entertainment, so your computer games, with physical toys, so your plastic figurines and whatnot. The Skylanders games, as they work on consoles, you purchase the game, and sometimes the game will come with a pack with other figures in it. Now, you can also buy these figures, these little toys, separately. And each toy is a monster, a little creature, who you can use in the game. So the idea is that you purchase the little beastie, and that allows you access to him in the game. The way he actually gets into the game, this beastie, is via a little docking port thing. So it's kind of like a little circular platform. And you plug, if you're on a console, you plug it into the actual console. Certainly on the old, I think it was on the PlayStation they had one, but PS2 rather. They might be wireless now. I don't know. I've never played one because, you know.
You're a grown up.
Exactly. I'm a grown up. Ostensibly, at least. And so I review games for a living. Who am I kidding? little circular platform. And what you do is you pop the figure on it, and the platform recognizes, sort of boom, lights up, recognizes the creature, and then beams that creature into the game. I imagine if you're a kid, that's pretty cool. It did phenomenally well. It proved this, you know, an astonishing hit, where they're, you know, not only making game sales, they're flogging toys, and in order to get the characters, if you want to play them, you have to buy the toy that you want if you want to play it in the game, and it's just a, you know, they've managed to marry the physical and the digital together, sell them both to, you know, poor parents who are charging around buying more and more of these plastic toys to give to their kids, and it's sold great guns. It's done amazingly well. We've had an iOS version of the game, but it had nothing to do with the physical toys. So it was kind of like a gallery shooter, that you would just, you know, tap the screen, and they'd pop up and you'd take them down. And actually, apparently, it was really good fun. They'd done it really well, very cutesy, very nice. Now, the Skylanders franchise is branching out not only onto iOS in terms of the physical. It's also going for a kind of freemium world-building angle as well. So there are these two games incoming. The first one we talk about is Battlegrounds, which is essentially the physical game that console owners have been enjoying for a while now. So you will be given one of these little platforms upon which you can put all of the creatures you already have, so it's backwards compatible with all the toys you already have, zap them onto your iPad game. And there is a game that's been released, I believe it's released in Canada at the moment, called Lost Islands, which is a kind of freemium building game. Obviously, this is kind of skewed towards the younger audience, it's fair to say. I don't suppose either of you have had contact with anyone who's used one of these things before?
Yes.
Have you? Hey, thank you. Thank God someone did. Jesus. Who, Peter?
There's a man, and I'm sure he won't mind me mentioning his name, because he's one of my best friends, but he's an absolute fool. he's a fellow games critic called Greg Giddens, and right. He absolutely loves Skylanders. And he was like, oh, I've got to go and get a new Chop-Chop. I've got to go and get a new Magma something. I've got to get, like, and it was just like, you're a grown man, Greg. If you're listening, Greg, you're a grown man. Sell your Skylanders things. This is an intervention.
Oh,
is it I can see why. I can absolutely see why people go for this kind of stuff. And like, it is kind of cool that you could put them on this pad, and then they suddenly appear in your game, and you know, all this sort of stuff. And maybe if they did, like, I don't know, a Visionaries version of this, then no one know that. Okay, so if they do a Visionaries version of this, then I would get involved. But I just think that the game itself, from what I've seen of it going, it just looks like a sort of standard platformy action game, like a sort of not as good Ratchet and Clank.
It reminds me of Spyro the Dragon, which I think is from the same guys, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's Skylanders. The original is something like Spyro's Adventures or something like that, isn't it? Who cares? Like, seriously.
I think Activision cares because it makes them a bomb.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? For kids, fair enough. Fine. Brilliant. Go for your life. But, I don't know. Grow up.
Who took the picture we've got on this story?
What, the picture of the box?
There's a picture of a monster here.
No, I've just offended someone massively.
Oh, right. I've got no idea.
I was just going to say the camera looked really rubbish. I was wondering what phone
just,
it was.
Just dissing our photography.
It's all out of focus. I was wondering what phone that was.
Well, maybe he had a small amount of time. Well, that's for the free building game. No, I only say that because this Skylanders Battlegrounds. I should probably have said this at the beginning. But disclaimer: this is technically a rumor. Okay, this screenshot has appeared, or this box shot has appeared of the mobile iOS starter pack with the pod and the picture of the iPad and everything, and it looks genuine, and, you know, there's a good chance that it is. But it hasn't been confirmed by Activision or anything like that yet. So, technically, you know, this is a possibility. Battlegrounds hasn't been confirmed. But
yeah, but look for it at the end of the year.
Yeah, look for it at the end of the year. Is it any worse than Pokemon?
No.
Really?
Well, yes. What? Yes. Yeah,
is it because it's way worse, is it?
Okay. Yeah, because you're buying little toys to put on a shelf, and then when like people come
people
round,
buy Pokemon toys. They got Ash figures and little
but they're optional. Yeah, they're optional though. Like, what happens when you got company over for a dinner party? Oh, hello. Yeah, come on in. Yeah, this is my. This
you want to touch my portal?
Yeah, exactly.
We should go back to the present, to the now, to the here. And take a little look at the games that have been released this week over on the new releases. first game on the new releases this week is a game you should all be familiar with by now, Monopoly. However, it is a slightly more upmarket version of Monopoly. I suppose you'd call it upmarket. Monopoly Millionaire by Electronic Arts, which you can get for the iPhone at the moment, but not the iPad, apparently. What it is, it's kind of like Speed Monopoly, I suppose is a way to say it. You have there's a very complicated explanation of how this game works, which you can see if you go, again, just go to the new releases section and click on the trailer. There is a lassie standing there trying to very quickly explain all the rules, and she looks like she's having difficulty, to put it frankly. She looks a bit breathless. It just seems to be a faster version. There's no banker in this version. They have all these cards placed on over the top of each of the properties, and if you land on them, you pick them up, and you have to do special things. It's probably like, I don't know, maybe strip Monopoly. You have to lose a sock or something when you land on couldn't think of a single Monopoly street name then. How about that? Bond Street.
There's no point in doing that because if we got any American listeners, they have different street names, don't they?
So. That's true. And actually, they're going to have a bunch of different locations in this one. So, for example, you can land on Bling Beach and Paradise Island.
What?
Paradise Island, I'll let pass. Bling Beach.
Bling Beach. Is that the version of Old Kent Road?
I guess.
It must be. Pretty skanky little...
However... I've seen the girl trying to explain how this game works and the amount of setup you have to do before it. If I was going to play this game, I would rather play it digitally because it looks like a hell of a lot of hassle to set up.
Looks like a faff.
Yeah, it does look like a faff. And so if you can get your iPhone to faff it out for you, I think that would be better.
Yeah, she's very nervous.
She is a bit nervous.
She's shaking while holding these cards.
Yeah, yeah. No, she really does look under pressure. But there's a lot to remember by the sounds of it, so I don't really blame her. But what you can do is challenge the computer across three difficulty levels, or you can play, obviously, against other people, either locally, pass the handset to other people, or you can do it over Wi-Fi as well, up to four people. So,
can you just play Monopoly as God intended?
I think that's EA do have a vanilla Monopoly app.
Yeah, I think that's
so awesome. Yeah, you can go and get that, but this is a different version.
Can you imagine the cool kids that would be playing like real-time local Wi-Fi over iPad to iPad Monopoly Millionaire?
I can imagine them doing it, shedding tears while the kids in the next room are playing Halo 4.
Yeah, exactly. Get a bottle of wine in and maybe some tortilla and hummus, and we'll all just play Monopoly Millionaire on our. Playing on our iPads, like.
See, this is why they're not allowed to play Halo 4 because they speak like that.
Their voice clearly hasn't broken yet.
However,
a boring party.
What I did notice about this version, is your little man or your little hat or your little dog or your little, you know, the avatar counter thing you have. That's upgradable in this one. So when you go round, when you pass go, instead of just collecting your £200, your $200 or whatever, you can choose to upgrade it. So you start off with a little like rowing boat, and then you wind up with like a super yacht at the end.
Why would you end up with two hats or three hats?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, maybe it goes from like a really gnarled looking kind of trampy hat to a full on like bowler hat thing, diamante crusting and all.
Why would you want to do that?
Because Monopoly, Keith.
Do you have to pay to do that? Is that in-app purchase?
No, I think
Western
you can just
board
do
games, Western board games are not selling as well as they used to. That's why.
Because the counters people had were too boring. That's why.
That's right. So you can now inflate your counter at the same time that you inflate your ego. If you do want to have a crack at Monopoly Millionaire, it's £1.99, $2.99 on the App Store. Buy it now and be the coolest kid at the Halo 4 party. Moving on now, here's a property that everyone should be familiar with. Old, young, blue, green, whoever you are, whatever colour you are. Crazy Taxi by Sega.
Sega.
Thank you, Keith. Which you can get for iPhone and iPad, finally, because it's been kicking around. Well, originally it was in the arcades in 1999, then it got put onto Dreamcast in 2000, I believe.
Dreamcast.
And yes, Dreamcast, which was, you know, one of the most popular games on the Dreamcast. It became synonymous with it for its banging late 90s, early noughties soundtrack.
Amazing.
Yeah. And it's just general arcade fun. If you haven't played it, where the hell have you been? But you control a car. You're a taxi driver who has to cane it around a California-esque landscape, picking up passengers, delivering them to their drop-off points in as quick a time as possible. You're fighting against the clock all the way. You're trying to earn cash, but you also earn extra points by going over jumps, going around corners, basically driving like a nutter. Gives you extra bonuses, and it's great fun. Basically, I don't think I've ever met someone who didn't like it.
I dismayed people this week because everyone was going on about the Offspring soundtrack, and I honestly used to play it with the music off because partly because I don't like Offspring, and partly because you can hear the screams of the people as you're almost running them over, and the people in the back of your cab much clearer.
So 50%
and that used to amuse me.
Percent taste and 50% sadism.
I hope this does well, and it means that Crazy Taxi 2 comes out, because I always think Crazy Taxi 2 is much better. In fact, I think so. The multiple passengers in the back was all.
Now we've confirmed that it's got Bad Religion, hasn't it?
I think we've confirmed it's got both. I think it has Offspring and Bad Religion, yes.
Excellent.
Because for some reason, these two tracks were removed, I assume for licensing reasons, were removed from the PlayStation Network and Xbox Live versions. And there was an outcry from people who cared about Offspring, from both the people who cared about Offspring. they cried out.
What did they have on those versions instead?
I don't know, White Noise, Banjo, the top 10 Banjo hits. I have no idea.
Mr. Blobby?
Then Whitfield Saturday Night, just over and over.
Oh, I would totally main pedestrians to Saturday Night. That would be awesome. I'm up for that. Yeah, you got your soundtrack back. I don't care because I never liked Offspring anyway. I'm with Keith on this one. Screw Offspring. But it's back in its entirety. It's in its full soundtrack glory. You can pick it up right now for £2.99, $4.99. So if you've got that that Dreamcast love still in your heart and you fancy Crazy Taxiing on the go, go and grab that one immediately. Next on the list, we've got some more judicial stuff in the new releases. Devil's Attorney by 1337 Game Design, which I suppose I'm supposed to read as Leet, but I'm not going to because nuts to them, which is coming out for your iPhone and iPad. It is a turn-based strategy title in which you play a lawyer who must do lawyery things, i.e. defend people who are probably guilty, get them off scot-free, get a load of money, take a load of drugs, probably, and do all that stuff that I've just muddied my waters with any lawyer listeners. But to be fair, this game is doing all those things, but it's doing it in a slightly tongue-in-cheek way. So it's based on the kind of the 80s ideal during that Reaganaut era in the 80s, where it was all about, you know, money and blue striped shirts with white collars and all that stuff. So it's kind of making fun of the 80s capitalist ideals and doing that in a mixture of courtroom battles and accumulating stuff. You just you buy stuff for your flat and your office and whatever. At least that's what I can make out from the trailer. Actually, we've reviewed this one. If you type Devil's Attorney into the search bar, you'll find it. And we gave it a silver. Harry quite liked it, said it was quite funny and quite good fun. You're a big Ace Attorney fan, aren't you, Peter?
Certainly am.
Certainly am. Does this tickle your gizzards?
I've got no objections.
Ooh, nice.
No.
Well, it looks kind of fun and tongue-in-cheek, and it's got the PG silver medal seal of approval. So Devil's Attorney by Leet Game Design. You can pick that up now for £1.99 or $2.99 of your dollars. Go and have a look. Now, back on quasi-board game conversions, Lexatron by a company called Fictoral, which looks a little bit like Scrabble. But it's not Scrabble, it's important to say, because it's called Lexatron. So, you know, it's obviously not Scrabble. That would be ridiculous. But to be fair, this is slightly different. You are presented with a grid of empty squares, some of which have, you know, coloured multipliers on them, just like with Scrabble would. And you have to make words, just like with the Scrabble board. However, the actual objective of this one is to get from one side of the board to the other by making a strand of words.
I like the look of this.
Which is quite an like it turns like a mixture of Scrabble, but you're not just chasing points. You're kind of chasing the real estate, if you like. You're actually trying to draw a line.
Scrabble meets Blockbuster with Bob Holness.
Yeah, it kind of is actually. Which, yeah, that doesn't sound too bad at all.
Our American listeners won't.
That's true. What? Yeah. No. So right, you build the words, but the idea is to get them in a line or join them up in such a way that you can get to the other end of the board. The twist here is, you can't use your opponent's letters. You know how in Scrabble you can like stick an S on the end of whatever word that they make, and make it plural and steal all their points like a cynical person. You can't do that in this one. You can only use your own words. So I imagine that you get to a point where you have to kind of try and weave your way around each other, I guess, in a snake-like fashion. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I suppose you it probably will draw on you wanting to get to your goal, but also blocking off.
Yeah.
Right, so you get kind of torn between the two, I would have thought.
Which is quite interesting. And by the looks of things, in order to, you know, you might get blocked off. They might actually cut you off from access to the other side of the board from your little goal. In which case, there are bomb tiles that you can place and explode their letters and then carve your way through. So it's kind of an interesting, like, it's aggressive as well as just word building. And to be fair, this looks like quite a good idea. I'm intrigued. So, Lexatron, that one is called. You can get it for iPhone and iPad. That's 69p99. So, if you like word games, check that one out. Moving down, we have Polara by Hope Works. Hope This Works Games. I like that. Hope This Works Games. That's not that optimistic, though, is it? That's like calling your games company. I'd give it 10 minutes.
Their logo is a picture of a pig with a hat on.
Oh, you must be already. They've enamored themselves to you, Keith. Clearly, immediately.
It's a different kind of pig. It's not a green pig.
Well, I had a little look at this earlier, and it looks like it's. Oh, hello. That was good.
This looks brilliant.
Whoa! Oh, sorry, that's me. Could you hear that?
No.
No, cool. I could hear lots of very loud music in my thing, and I'll start that again.
This looks quite good, actually.
This looks brilliant.
It looks like a combination between the Mirror's Edge Freerunner with Tron visuals. That's what it strikes me as.
Yeah, you've missed out one.
Okay, go on.
It also looks like Ikaruga.
Yes, I see. I mentioned it last week, and I wasn't going to say it again the first time I saw it. Yeah, it bloody does look like Ikaruga. Because as you're going through...
Bloody does.
It bloody does. It really bloody does, yeah. As you're going through, your character, you can obviously change colours, change polarity like you can on Ikaruga. So your character is either blue and receptive to blue powers, if you like. It'll absorb blue energy. Or you can switch it red and it'll absorb red energy. But never the twain shall meet. If you're blue and you get hit with red, then it's lights out for you. Or at least that's how it works on Ikaruga. So it seems to be using that in its design, which is a cool system. I know whereof I speak. Ikaruga's groovy. But they've turned it into kind of a free-running format. I'm quasi-interested in this one. Are you up for this, Keith?
It looks all right, yeah. If I had more free time.
If you could get your iPod working.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Mm. Damn thing.
Keith's having iOS 6 woes.
Oh, iOS 6.
Oh, dear. He's trying to love it. He's trying so hard, but it won't let him.
I'm not really trying anymore.
I know you've given up. Don't give up, Keith. You're the soul of this podcast.
I know. I told my mum that.
Did you? I bet you actually did. Did you tell your mum? Did you ring her up?
I haven't yet. I probably will. I'll probably, she'll get an email.
Oh, amazing. Well, that aside, Polara, for iPhone and iPad, it will set you back. 69p99. Go and have a look. So those are some of the new games that have just come out. But we have been playing some games of our own this week. So let's go and have a little chat about what they are over in the What We've Been Playing fields.
What We've Been Playing!
Peter Wellington, what have you been playing this week?
Okay, so I've been playing Super Hexagon.
Ah, I've heard about this.
Oh, it's so good! Terry Kavanagh. Is just an absolute genius. Guy behind VVV, has made what I've seen described as a distillation of the bullet hell shooter into like a pacifist retro game, I suppose. You have two controls. You have left and right. You've got a little triangle, and you need to avoid walls that are coming towards you. That's literally it. Like, it's super simple, but it's so challenging that my highest score, I think, is I've survived for 64 seconds, 65 seconds, something like that. Wow. And that took me, I've played the game for about 4 or 5 hours now. So you can imagine the number of times that I've gone restart. Restart. It's got this brilliant chiptune soundtrack, and I wish I remembered the name of the artist that provided it.
Oh, really? I do have a soft spot for a chiptune soundtrack.
It's not chiptune to the point of like, hey, do you remember Super Nintendo? They sounded great. It's like he's actually using it as an instrument, you know, to produce something unique and new and energizing. The soundtrack's very energizing. It's a shame that the kind of hype around it's kind of tailed off a little bit. But if you've got a couple of friends and you don't mind all kind of just throwing 69p at something and you want something to a bit asynchronous multiplayer to play, it's got that hook whereby you so want to rub your friend's face in your like I've basically been trying to beat Sinan Cubber, who's a writer over at Joystick, whereby basically he doesn't know this, but he had 62 seconds and I had 58, and I was like, right, this is it, it is on. And basically that was it. Like, I had to beat him. And so obviously I have now, which is
obviously,
so it comes highly recommended. And then like, yeah, there's like 6 different difficulty levels. The first one's difficult enough, but like you crank it all the way to the top difficulty, and it's like it has that same sort of retina burning, do not blink or you will die, speed and intensity of like the best Wipeout games in zone mode. It's just,
You've sold me already.
So good, so good.
Yeah, I'm getting that. That's right up my particular alley. Oh, sure. Just for that, Keith.
Just funny way you delivered it, that's all.
Do tell us what you've been playing this week, Keith.
I'm playing it, that's very second.
You're playing it the second. Why is that? Is it because perhaps you've been having an issue or two?
Well, it's still not running properly, but that's not the game's fault, actually. That's Apple's fault. How do I pause this? Yes, I've been playing Kumo Lumo. I'm only a few levels into it, actually, but it's very interesting. It looks amazing. Mm-hmm. As we were talking about, it's kind of got this weird mixture of art styles, but they work really well together. So the idea is, you, as you were kind of saying, you control this cloud. I think it's probably called Kumo, or maybe Lumo. And so he is above a planet, and you drag him around the planet, basically. You can move the planet, and you can move him around. And when you tap him, he drops rain. And the idea is that you've got all these little kind of tree seedlings, which are, in the actual game, are kind of these little orangey little circles, which look quite cool. And you rain on them, and after a bit of rain, they turn into a big, nice little forest. And you have a set number of kind of, you've got to fill up your bar, so you've got to turn all these little saplings, I suppose, into huge, lovely forests with your rain. And obviously, your rain runs out, so you have to keep picking up clouds. And the more trees you make, the more clouds get put into the sky. So you kind of, it's a kind of chicken and egg kind of situation. As you're going on later on, these kind of baddie people start turning up. You get these little aliens, I think they are, land on your planet, and they start kind of wandering around, making quite amusing noises, setting fire to your trees. So you have to drop your rain on them as well as on the trees themselves. And then in the last level, I've just been playing, these black, evil black clouds turn up that look like they're kind of like pixelated clouds, actually. And if you touch them while you haven't got much rain in you, you die. And but it's a nice little kind of relaxing, but there's a challenge there, kind of nice mixture. And you're kind of just walking around, dropping these rain, you know, tapping on the screen, and as you go around, I expect it probably gets more hectic the further I get. But at the moment, it's very gorgeous.
And gorgeous.
It's interesting. And I suspect it's probably quite good. It's good so far. I was intended to play more of it, but iOS 6 didn't want me to play it. So, but yes.
Good stuff.
I suspect it's very good.
Okay. Well, you suspect away.
Let's get off my case, James. Honestly, I've told you all I know.
All right. I will turn my powerful light of perception on myself to discuss a game which we haven't mentioned so far, but I've been saving up until now because I reckon it's going to be pretty big. The game is Death Dome. It's come out on iOS, obviously, and Android as well. You play it from an over-the-shoulder perspective, a third-person point of view. You are placed within a single environment or arena. You don't move from that spot. A very, very large antagonist appears, strolls towards you. Melee combat ensues. They will take swipes at you. You have two dodge buttons, one left and one right, which you can tap to get out of the way. If you dodge in time, you might be able to go in there and counter real quick, get them on a sweet spot. You can also parry them. If you swipe in the direction that their attack is coming in, you can parry them. That'll leave them exposed. You can then take a strike and try and take them out. There is a shield button, which you can tap to block, but the shield only has a certain number points, which will allow you to block for a certain number of times in every game. Once you've completed your bout, once you've won, you then go back to a screen which allows you to buy extra items for your character, which you can also upgrade by paying real money and getting extra currency if you wish. You can power up your weaponry, you can add extra armor and extra abilities as well. Now, it's definitely fair to say that Death Dome has more than a touch of Infinity Blade in its DNA. And I use the word DNA advisedly because it's set in this apocalypse-type scenario where everyone's been affected by a mutagenic virus, so everyone's sort of, there are zombies wandering about, zombie-like things, all giant, weird array of creatures who are all attacking you one-on-one. If you've ever played Infinity Blade, and I suspect some of you have, you will be immediately familiar with Death Dome, to the point where you could just skip the intro sequence and tutorial altogether and just dive straight into the game. It's pretty darn similar. Now, from gameplay terms, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because, you know, Infinity Blade is very polished and kind of fun, and this comes off very, very, very polished. It's from Glue Games, and the big difference between it and Infinity Blade is actually a visual one, as well as the setting and the environment being kind of apocalypse zombie as opposed to kind of knights and armor and, you know, gods and whatnot. The visuals are done in a cel-shaded style, very, very reminiscent of another popular gaming franchise, Borderlands. So you basically visuals of Borderlands, gameplay of Infinity Blade, and you've got Death Dome. It's difficult. I mean, I've played it for about an hour. It's weird to review it because or to offer impressions because it really is so similar to Infinity Blade that it just feels like, yep, I've played this. This is, you know, this is quite good fun. This is well done and everything. It is. It's enjoyable to play. Actually, I prefer the environment in this game to Infinity Blade. I've never been quite as taken with the fantasy swords and slash. I don't mind it, but, you know, it's fine. I prefer the Borderlands look. You know, it's knackered, you know, broken down churches and abandoned subways and whatnot with giant monsters heading towards you. And some of them are giant as well. When you get to the bosses, it's like, you know, 50 times the size of you. Infinity Blade mechanics of gesture control swiping, they work very well, and you know they worked for Infinity Blade and they work here. It's free to play, which is the big thing that it has over Infinity Blade from a getting lots of downloads point of view. Not that getting 1 million downloads or 2 billion downloads necessarily amounts to anything unless people are actually sticking with it for longer than a day. But given the way that the game plays and given people's immediate familiarity with the controls, I have a feeling it's going to take off because it's pretty good. It's a pretty good version of it. It feels weird saying anything about it because it's I'm trying to find a diplomatic way of saying it. It is so very clearly inspired by Chair's franchise that there's a part of you that wants to kind of deduct points, as it were, for just being so close to another game. But if you ignore the existence of Infinity Blade, it's pretty polished. It's really good fun. It looks good. It's well laid out. Graphics are really nice, even though they look like Borderlands. And I reckon it's going to do really well because people are like this type of game and find it fun and will be attracted by the freemium, the fact that they can just jump in and play for free, which may have, I don't know, may have put some people off purchasing Infinity Blade. I don't know. It's been out for, oh, I don't know if it's just today or a couple of days, but I looked at the app stores just before I did this, and reviews have been pretty strong on both the app stores and Google Play. So if, and again, massive cop-out, if you like Infinity Blade, but that's all you can really say on this. It really is this. You liked Infinity Blade. If you like the look of Borderlands, then this is definitely for you. You'll like it. If you are going to take issue with Glue for, you know, perhaps maybe being cynical or perhaps being less than original in what they've done, then you could do that. But if you just want to play the game and you like the likes of Infinity Blade, then this will probably be right up your alley. So.
I don't know if this has occurred to you, mm-hmm. but that sounds very much to me like Infinity Blade.
Oh, Keith! Oh, you've hit the nail right on the head there.
It's just what I was, the vibe I was getting. I
mean, yeah. No, I don't know where you picked that up from, but
Keith is only able to do this because he's played so many video games.
Yeah, I know. He's always. That's why he was playing one just now during the podcast. That's not because we are boring him to tears. No. That's because he was so committed. Yeah. So committed to his life of video gaming.
I am just so games, me.
Yeah, you are. You are pure games. That's what you are. 100% game.
Do you know there's a Kylie Minogue game coming out for Wii? That's.
I thought you designed that game.
I'm going to be all over that.
That's who you are.
Is that actually a real thing?
It's a real thing for Christmas.
Nice.
Well, really?
Not Wii U either, for Wii.
It's really, really?
A Kylie game is going. I don't know what it involves. Probably dance routine. That's worth powering up the Wii for.
Phenomenal.
Sounds wrong, wouldn't it?
Powering up your Wii and your heart. If you like the sound of any of those games that we talked about just now, head on over to pocketgamer.co.uk. You can find information about every single one of them on the site. You can also check out pocketgamer.biz, which gives you the skinny on the developer side of things. Get all the behind-the-scenes info about the games that you love to hate to love, or Angry Birds. Thank you, Peter and Keith, for joining me once again for this episode. The next episode of the podcast may be slightly delayed because the GMAs are happening next week, which is the Games Media Awards.
Ooh.
And we got nominated for this podcast.
Ooh. Yeah.
We got nominated for Best Soul.
For Best Soul in a technology podcast.
Best Soul
podcast.
Recording.
Yes, that's right. We got nominated for that. So we're going to have to, there may be a day or two's delay in the next podcast. So the podcast following will either be massively victorious and gloating, or will be slightly downcast.
I hope it's not the second one.
Yeah, I know. We'll see. Thanks for staying with us. Go and check out the sites. Enjoy your iPhone and iPad gaming. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye.